Wheeler. The coffee is hot. Coffee's not as strong as I would like it. I kind of watered it down too much. This is going to be Slinging the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 33, the Patrick Waugh episode.
Too easy.
33. Who's a good 33? James Reimer's 34. Austin Matthews is 34. There's a couple of Reimer jerseys at the Leafs game that I was at 2 weeks ago.
By the way, thanks to all the people down in the chat of the YouTube page for helping Travis cheat on all the future numbers coming up. They're just rattling off a whole bunch.
See all those comments too?
Yeah. Those are awesome. Well done. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, somebody came up with a comment for all the goalies with numbers through 30, through I think 49, all the way up to Michael Layton in the 2010 Cup run versus the Blackhawks. So
yeah.
We got goalies. We got starters for the next couple of episodes. Speaking of coffee, question for you. Victoria and I were thinking about this the other day on our way to Tim Hortons. Is Roll Up the Rim overrated and is it dead? I know COVID kind of killed Roll Up the Rim with the pieces of paper, but now it's Roll Up the Rim on your phone. Do you think it's dead?
Well, I think it killed the romance of the whole thing. And I mean, the digital has done that to a lot of different platforms. And I mean, for instance, when I was younger, I used to love, whether it be a cassette tape or a CD or a vinyl, is buying an album, sitting down, opening it up, putting on the headphones, reading the liner notes and these beautiful pieces of art. And, you know, you'd stretch out the cassette tape and see all these lyrics. And there was a physical romance to being a part of that experience. And when they got rid of the actual rolling up of the rim, and for the Americans that don't understand, Tim Hortons, and Dunkin' Donuts, I'm sure, and other coffee shops have probably done this, but you would literally roll up the side. It would say, roll up right here for your chance to win. And they're giving away cars and kayaks and money and free donuts, free coffee, all this kind of stuff. And you'd roll it up and it'd say, hey, you're a winner. Then you'd cut that out and you'd bring it into your participating Tim Hortons location and you get your prize. Now, with the whole digital thing, it's taken away that romance of finishing. Oh, I can't wait to finish my coffee. Just roll up my rim to see if I win. And they even got, they had a situation not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, where a whole bunch of people told them that they won $10,000. And they're like, oh, sorry, that was a glitch. That doesn't count. Trust me, our legal team has covered this. We thought this might happen. It's taken away. It's not as honest anymore. It's not as fun. I don't even play it. I don't even play the digital version. Same thing with McDonald's when they used to do the whole Monopoly thing. It's way more fun having a little board, licking the little sticker that you get off of your hash browns or your fries or whatever and sticking it on the board. And that was fun. You'd put it up on the fridge and you'd add to it. Now it's a whole digital thing. Yeah, I mean, I get it. The younger generation doesn't have time for these frivolous things like sticking things onto a piece of paper. I mean, who's got time for that? Nobody got time for that. But yeah, the whole digital marketplace has kind of really kind of ruined the romance of things that used to be kind of fun.
You know Bighorn Barry, like the big black guy who sits kind of the edge of the bed like this? You know that guy?
Oh, and he's got the, he's hung like, that guy, yeah. Yeah, he passed away a number of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, he's dead, but actually, there was a couple of years ago, I saw there was a Christmas advent calendar. If you don't know what an advent calendar is, it's just a calendar with like 24 slots, and on December 1st, you have a chocolate, the 2nd, you have a chocolate, and you just keep eating the chocolate. But with this calendar, his hog was replaced with a piece of chocolate. So like you press the button on December 1st, oh, pops a piece of chocolate.
Wow.
And then on Christmas Day, his hog comes into full fruition, and it's there.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. Happy amazing. Lent, everybody.
Yeah, rest in peace to Barry. Speaking of fast food, though, did you see the other day? This was popping on social media. Apparently, Connor Bedard's mom came out and said that Connor Bedard has never in his life, one time, consumed fast food, ever.
God love her. Wow. That's awesome.
He has no desire. He has no interest. He doesn't know what it's like Tim Hortons for a coffee, McDonald's for a fry, for a double-double, a Cinemelt. If you remember those were pretty tight back in the day. I used to work at McDonald's, and they had Cinemelt.
You did too? So did I. I used to work at Mickey D's.
Yeah, my first ever job. We talked about this a couple episodes
ago. Yeah. I had two career parents who, you know, getting a hot meal that was made in the house was a rarity in our place. It was usually fast food or our local pizza joint that knew our order. As soon as they dialed, they'd be like, no problem, be there in 15 minutes, and they take it. And so I'm not faulting them for that at all, but I kind of grew up in the fast food culture. But my wife and I have kind of done the same with our kids. Like, fast food isn't just it's all hungry, let's go grab something. Like, we started a new tradition during the pandemic where we just ordered like a table full of fast food, and that's what we do on Christmas Eve. And we leave out a burger and fries for Santa Claus. And that's a treat. Like that's special. It's like, hey, we're celebrating, you know, we're just gonna other than that, we're making home-cooked meals more often than not, and I think that's going to do a lot of good for my kids, I'm hoping, down the road. It certainly has for Connor Bedard.
You know, when I was a kid, this is a kind of a full-circle story here. My mom's going to be listening to the podcast and been having flashbacks to that, because on on, I believe it was Christmas Eve. This would have been when I was like two or three. We had like Siberian Huskies as a kid. And my mom pulled out this turkey, left it in the sink. Right? Awesome dogs.
Yeah.
This big old turkey in the sink. And there's me, 3 years old. I got up, I grabbed the turkey, and I brought it outside, and I flung it outside, and I gave it to the Huskies. And obviously at the time, I'm not going to tell my mom that I just gave the Christmas dinner away to the dogs.
Was it raw? My mom, please tell me it was raw.
Raw turkey.
Okay,
raw turkey. Phew. And so mom comes into the kitchen. She's like, where's the turkey? And then there's me. Doggy, you gave the turkey to the dogs? Yeah. So mom had to order pizza that night. So shout out to my mom. My mom listens every week, and so does my dad. And rest in peace to the Christmas turkey from years past. Also, if you're new to joining the podcast, welcome. My name is Travis Ridgen. I play for the Motor City Rockers in the Fed Zeno, as we call it, the FPHL, fifth level pro in North America, joined by the top morning show radio host in the city of Winnipeg, Mr. Dave Wheeler. He's missing an eye. He's a little bit right side heavy because he's missing the eye on the other side. But yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. By the way, go sign up for our Patreon page. Travis and I were actually chatting within the last 48 hours about some incentives that we're thinking about bringing into the Patreon space. And believe me when I tell you, if you sign up, there's going to be some really cool, we'll call it behind the scenes opportunities that you can get involved in on the Sling of the Biscuit podcast here. So yeah, go do that. If you got it, listen, I understand inflation. I get it. No, not everyone got a few extra bucks to shell out, but if you're looking to invest in something that's going to help pass the time and keep you entertained, and that's a good one. Patreon page link is in the description.
Yeah, if you're a member, you have the rookie cards from my time in Motor City this year and Sweden from the year before. We're going to collector set, so it's going to be like a 7-piece set from my time in Motor City, Sweden year one, Sweden year two, VIU with college. My junior team's like a shiny, like an actual, like nice collector's edition set. Working on Slinging the Biscuit mugs, bringing those back from the old version of the podcast, and some merch. So that'll be coming up hopefully sometime in the spring, early summer at the absolute latest. And if you're a member of the podcast Patreon page, thank you very much for supporting us. And yeah, we're looking forward to sharing many more episodes with you as the summer rolls on.
Yeah, the new mugs are actually going to be really nice, beautiful old China teacups that we found at the local thrift store. Beautiful, beautiful. A gold plated at the top. Oh, they're lovely.
Are we going to pick them off the dump?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
Brady Landfill in Winnipeg when I go back next week.
Is it next week already? Awesome.
Yeah, so this is going to go up on Sunday. So next Monday, I'm heading back home to Winnipeg on the train. I'm going to be going to see my surgeon, my good-looking surgeon, get some updated x-rays, make sure everything's good. And then when I come back on April the 6th, when I have my full gear, I'm going to be skating in full gear again for the first time in 4.5, almost 5 months.
And I was like, no, you're not, because the Masters is on that weekend. So you're going to be busy watching one of my favorite golf tournaments of all time. So after that, you can go skating. For those that I know, hockey kind of transcends really well into golf. Like more often than not, when you see a lot of these celebrity pro-ams and whatnot, whenever the hockey players are playing, they play pretty well, because the idea of swinging a club translates very well from playing hockey. And I know there's a lot of golf fans out there, but Scottie Scheffler, who won last year's Masters, there's a tradition that the champion makes the menu for the champions dinner the following year. So the defending champion, before the new tournament starts, picks the menu. All the past champions go in and they wear their green jackets, and it's very fancy, and it's very, very exclusive and very elite. And so they have a big champions dinner. Now, Scottie Scheffler, I don't know if anyone's watched Full Swing on Netflix. It's a great think of it like the like Drive to Survive for Formula One, or the Road to the Winter Classic on HBO when they did that. It's kind of like a behind the scenes of the PGA Tour. And Scottie Scheffler, my God, one of the most boring human beings like in the world. Like, his pronouns are ho-hum. Like, he's boring. And he put up this menu. Basically, he just took a page out of the Applebee's menu and said, yep, that's what I want to eat. Like, boring. Cheeseburger sliders, tortilla soup, ribeye steaks, and then chocolate chip cookies for dessert. Like, it was the most boring menu. Like, outside of cocktail weenies, he couldn't have gotten more basic with this menu. Like, you've got world-class Michelin star chefs getting ready to prepare your meal. Like, how about some cheeseburger sliders? I really like those. They're just lame. Lame.
This is a story I was told by a former Toronto Maple Leafs goalie coach, Steve McKeegan. He told me that when he was coaching for the Leafs, this would have been back, I believe Steve coached from 05 to 09. It might have been 2010. But in that time, obviously they get the private bird and the tarmac. They take off. They go wherever they need to go. And they obviously have the chefs. They have the 5-star Michelin meals like you just mentioned, like prime rib, you know, filet mignon, lobster tail, everything. And Phil Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk would religiously show up with Quiznos subs. You got the best chefs in the business. They're about to make you beef Wellington done rare just the way you like it, where the thing's still begging for its life on the plate, and you go to Quiznos subs. True story.
Yeah, you. Well, I mean, listen, Phil Kessel's no stranger to the hot dogs. I mean, God, people were throwing hot dogs at him one time when he was playing in Pittsburgh, I think, weren't they?
What about Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar? And people were throwing cheeseburgers at him, and you know, in his little stint in Ottawa when he went 21-1. And after the game, he picks up the hamburger like the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
showing the cheeseburger off to the crowd.
And takes a bite out of it too. I mean, that's the stuff that makes you legendary. No one remembers the 21-1. People remember the cheeseburgers.
You know what a shame it was? Was he got gifted free McDonald's for life. I know we talked about this on the show, you know, many episodes ago, but 25 years, Andrew Hammond gets free hamburgers for life anytime he goes to McDonald's, and he doesn't eat it. I remember Chris Drieger, Winnipeg boy, Winnipeg goaltender for the Seattle Kraken, was in Ottawa at the time when, you know, the hamburger was going on his big run, and he was bent out of shape. He's like, I eat McDonald's. I'd happily take this. Why don't I get this?
No transfers. No, this is not Ticketmaster. You can't transfer over.
Speaking of which, unrelated, did I tell you I applied for Letterkenny or Shorzy the other day or no?
What do you mean applied?
So they're doing a casting call right now for Letterkenny and Shorzy. And I applied. I did the whole casting thing. You know, what do you look like?
They're actually going to put a face to Shorzy?
No. Like the show. So they're looking for like add-on cast, like members for the show.
Right. But we haven't seen Shorzy. We just hear his voice, right?
I don't know. I never really got into the series, to be honest with you. I watched Letterkenny, and then I saw the Shorzy, you know, cast. I watched one episode with my previous old lady last year, and wasn't really into it. So I don't know. I thought it was a good opportunity. I liked Letterkenny. So
are you an actor member? Are you a union member?
I am not. But the casting call was very simple: name, height, weight, playing history, and are you available during the month of May 2023? And I said yes. I got nothing going on, so let's do it.
Wow. Well, hey, good luck. Hopefully, you get a call back.
I hope so too. That'd be great. We can put the podcast on hold, and I can go film Shorzy season 2. But one little bone that I did have to pick for the show this week.
Oh, so Sportsnet. They're casting for the show, not for the role. Got it. Okay, go on.
So Jesus Christ, I should have explained that. That was terrible. My bad. So I'm not going to be Shorzy. They're looking for members to add to the cast.
Got it.
They're looking to add a goalie, to a player, to, you know, somebody to hold the water bottles.
Got it.
Something. So I figured that'd be a good opportunity there. They're filming in Quebec, I believe, was in the casting role. But Bo and I had to pick this week. This is a little bit old, but a week old. Was the horrible journalist at Sportsnet were criticizing Matt Murray for pushing the nets off, trying to get extra whistles, delays of game, with no actual understanding of goaltending and the fact that, you know, with reverse plays and the way that the goaltending game is played nowadays, it's almost predominantly in the reverse from the goal line beyond. Like your arm, your elbow is tucked around the post, your integrated toe cap, skate blade, a bunch of combinations on the post, and the nets move around. And when you're having a 220, 230-pound man pushing, bumping side to side, the nets are going to come off if they're not done up properly. And they were accusing him of cheating. Like, what kind of journalism is that? Like, these people in the media don't actually understand goaltending. And it proves exactly there. You have a goaltender who is, in my opinion, one of the best, most technical out there, and they're criticizing him of cheating. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, listen, if it's happening to him more often than it's happening to other goaltenders, then I can understand how a case could be made. Now, for those that don't understand, there's a difference. I mean, if you're going out and playing rec league hockey or even, you know, some minor hockey, there's a difference. They will give you basically a heavy metal, I don't even know the best way to describe it, a pipe with a little square bottom and teeth at the bottom, and you hammer that into the ice, like as close as you can to the existing kind of space that's been there. Yeah, and then you knock the post in on top of that. In the NHL, they actually drill holes probably about 3 inches deep and put in a hard plastic that will go into the ice, and then they put the net on top of that, and that's supposed to secure it a little bit better. But they need it to break away. Because, I mean, more often than not, when guys are crashing into the net, I mean, you could do some serious damage if those things were lodged in, like, a basketball net or something to that extent. So they don't want that. But you are going to deal with situations where the net comes off for safety issues. The problem is, when you've got a guy, like you said, crashing back and forth, going post to post, and he's that big, it's probably going to happen. But I don't think it's fair to accuse him of cheating, but I think he does have to be a little more aware of his surroundings and to know that you're not allowed to knock the net off.
I would put the fault, honestly, on the people that are setting up the nets. Like, the nets should be set up in a way. Like, you're the National Hockey League. Your budgets are how many millions of dollars? You're not the Motor City Rockers, where a budget is, you know, 750,000. We're talking millions and millions of dollars. Can we not get somebody to put the goddamn pegs in properly so that our goaltenders can play the game the way that the game is supposed to be played in 2023 in between the pipes, and not have the net come off from post play, and then we can actually have it come off if there's, you know, guys flying into the net, stuff like that. Like, can we not figure this out with the budgets that they have? Would make more sense.
Well, again, it doesn't seem to be that much of an epidemic around the rest of the league, does it?
According to the Sportsnet journalist, they said no. They said it's just Matt Murray, but I disagree. I think that they don't know what they're talking about, but that's just my two cents. If you're in the video version, on the YouTube version of the podcast, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think. If you're on the Apple or Spotify version, send a message anytime to the Sling and the Biscuit Instagram podcast channel, where I will respond to your messages, because Dave is not on any social media at all.
You got to keep in mind that journalists will make sensationalistic claims and in their headlines and in their articles, because what do they want? They want people to go, whoa, and click and share and read again and then send it off and have it go viral. And they honestly don't care if there's good comments or bad comments. If they see 500,000 comments in their Twitter feed, they go, yes, nailed it. There was a music journalist that decided to go after Meg White of the White Stripes, saying how she was a horrendous drummer and just terrible. And guys like Questlove from the Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon, going, no, she can keep a beat. She was there to support Jack White. She wasn't there to be, you know, Keith Moon. She wasn't there to be Taylor Hawkins. She was there to keep a beat for a guy by the name of Jack White. And so she actually had professional drummers, like really good, accomplished drummers, come to her defense. And he had to come out and apologize, which I think was stupid. Because what was he looking for? He was looking for people to read his article, looking for people to share his article. He got exactly what he wanted for. So you can't turn around and say, I'm sorry. What you can turn around and say, that's my opinion.
I think the sad thing about hockey today is, and this is something that, you know, Matt and I were talking about on our date, you know, 2 weeks ago. I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but we were sitting down having coffee, waterfront downtown Vancouver, and I asked him about that. I said, do you ever feel like, you know, like that they're singling you out, or maybe they're, you know, saying stuff that it's just not true? And he says, well, yeah, that's their job. They're trying to get me to say something
sure.
that they can write a headline on, and I'm trying not to give them anything. And I said, well, call me crazy. If I was respectful to you, and maybe I didn't go, you know, go full Steve Simmons, maybe I was a little bit more respectful, would you not give me more? And he says, absolutely. If you're good to me, I'll be good to you. And if you're a scumbag to me, you're not going to get anything. And I mean, that goes with anything in life. You get what you put into it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. But, you know, you look at some of the, I mean, even into politics, and we're not going to talk politics.
Not this week.
Not going to do it. But you see how certain politicians will react better to certain journalists and certain reporters and certain people in the press room, because they either line up with them politically, or they're just a really good journalist and they know when, where, and how to ask certain questions. And there's some that are just like a bull in a china shop that will ask the wrong thing. And that's right across the board. There are very few exceptional journalists in the industry in North America. Very few that are exceptional. There's a lot of average ones. There's a lot of sensationalistic ones, and especially in sports media. I have a hard... you got me all fired up now, Ridge.
Well, we're not kind of like the journalists out there that you know have misinformation and have no idea what they're talking about. Like last week when we said Patrick Waugh invented the butterfly, no, absolutely not. We did not forget about Glenn Hall and the St. Louis Blues, Chicago Blackhawks eras of the 70s who pioneered the butterfly. We didn't do that at all. Of course not.
No, but look, here's what we did. Were those guys there? Sure. But did they influence an entire generation of goaltenders? No, they didn't. The guy that influenced the game so well because he dominated so much was Patrick Waugh. Did he invent the style? No, but he trademarked it. He gets credit for it more often than not.
Absolutely. I think the greatest thing Patrick Waugh will ever go down for in his career was the Detroit game.
You forgot to mention Espo, by the way. Esposito.
Tony O. Esposito. Yes. The greatest thing that Patrick Waugh will ever go down for in his career is not, you know, the Stanley Cups, I got two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ears. I can't hear what Jeremy
Mike
says.
Mike Keane actually fed him that line, by the way. That was Mike Keane, former captain of the Montreal Canadiens, fed Waugh that line to tell him and to say it in the press conference.
Really?
Yeah.
Winnipeg boy Mike Keane told him that.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
He's like, Mike, what do I say? I don't know. I don't know Jeremy Roenick. What do I say? He's like, tell him you can't hear him with your two Stanley Cup rings plugging your ears. And so that's why it came off so very plugging my ears.
Yeah, it's cute that Patrick says he would have stopped me. I just want to know where he was in Game 3 of the United Center. Probably getting his jockstrap out of the 300 section of United Center. I can't hear what Jeremy says. I got two Stanley Cup rings plugging my head.
Oh, God, it was hilarious. But you're talking about the game in question, the last game that Patty Roy, number 33, ever played for the Habitat was at the Forum when they were playing Detroit, and he was getting absolutely shelled. Like, he couldn't stop a freight train. Nothing. Like it was
the whole train.
Not he couldn't even get a piece of it. This thing ran through the middle of the forum, and they left him in. They left him in, and finally he made a save, and it was the greatest thing. Like it was a simple save. I think it was a dump in, and he put his glove behind his stick, and he stops it, and the fans cheered. Throws his hands in there, he's like, "There you go, I got one," and then shakes his head, puts his hands down, goes to the bench. This is back in the forum where they didn't have glass behind the bench. Like the fans were literally within half a foot of the players and the coaches and everybody. And he walks over, walks past the coach, goes over to the GM and goes, "I'll never play here again. Trade me.
No, right, Dave, you're missing the best part. What? About that is that he walks past the coach and the GM, stops, and you could tell something just clicked in his brain. No, I'm going to do it. And then he turns around, looks, who was the coach?
Lemaire?
Jesus Christ. No, not Jacques Lemaire. Mario Tremblay was the coach at the
time.
Looks him right in the eye, walks past him, goes to the owner. "This is my last game. I will not play with the Habitants ever again." Shakes his hand, sits his ass down. Team suspend him and trade him to Colorado, and he wins the cup 5 months later. And the Habs have not gotten a sniff since then.
Well, they had a sniff. They got to the finals with Carey Price there a couple of years ago, 3 years ago when they lost to Tampa Bay.
The COVID playoffs don't count. I don't think that counts. I'm sorry.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
Okay, the 2020 playoffs, you had 5 months between when they stopped and when they went back to the bubble. There's no home ice advantage. You go to the 2021 playoffs where you have the American teams with full house, full audience, and then you have the Canadian teams with, you know, the five janitors cleaning the place because nobody was allowed in the building. It's not the same. I don't think it was the same. And then you had different restrictions. So, for example, the, not to get political on you, but the U.S. teams didn't have any of the, thing restrictions, and the Canadian teams did. It was so unbalanced that season. I don't count that. Doesn't count.
I don't know. They still had to play X amount. They still played the same amount of games. They still did all the things. I get where you're coming from. I understand, but everyone played by the same set of rules. They still made the finals. They had a sniff. They had. There's no. If you go to the Wikipedia page, there's no asterisk next to that Tampa Bay Lightning win. Going well, there was this whole pandemic thing, so. Yeah, they got a cup, but doesn't really count. They won the cup that year. No one's taking that away from them.
I think the biggest problem that I have with it is that they weren't wearing Sheath underwear, the presenting sponsor for this podcast. And if they were, I'd probably take them a little bit more seriously. And your date can too when she's pulling off your beautiful bamboo mesh Sheath underwear with the dual pouch. The dual pouch is that trademark Sheath technology that separates your dick and your balls so they're not separated or they're not sticking to the side of your leg. Have you ever seen a bat, speaking of the coronavirus, you ever seen a bat, how their wing kind of like that?
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen down below the belt. Right. So Sheath underwear stops that from happening completely. And you can get that. You get comfortable. You get the best money can buy. It's cheaper than the competitors. And the promo code BISCUIT69 will get you 20% off. The best underwear the money can buy only at sheathunderwear.com. There's a link in the video description. You got to get a pair of Sheath. I promise you're going to love it.
I actually turned on the co-host of my Wheeler After Dark podcast with my wife and my best buddy, the Sad Jaguar. Got him on to the Sheath underwear with the code BISCUIT69. Got him on it. He ordered it. Life-changing. He said, "I don't know why I wasn't on this years ago."
Speaking of 69, you see Jimmy Garoppolo, he just signed for 3 years, $60 million
yeah.
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
How much damage do you think he's going to do down there in the Bay Area? He's got to be the best-looking guy in the entire Pacific Northwest.
Jimmy Garoppolo? He was already there.
No. Well, I know he's already been there, but he's just signed another deal. And how much more damage is he going to do in the Pacific Northwest, being the best-looking guy in the entire side of the country, on the continent? He's so good-looking. That Greek jawline. God.
Especially in the Bay Area. He can have his choice. He can have his choice. Of literally what? His choice of anyone he wants down there.
Wasn't he? He was dating that porn star in 2020. I can't remember. TMZ had a video of him and her out at dinner. I guess things didn't work out for whatever reason. And yeah, he's back on the market. He's doing well for himself.
Well, I mean, just because you're an amazing quarterback and you make a lot of money doesn't mean you're a good human being. As we've seen throughout a lot of different professional leagues, doesn't mean you're a good human being by any stretch. But I think there is a certain allure to certain people who will attach themselves to that because they think to themselves, this is my way out of the lifestyle that I'm in.
I think Aaron Rodgers falls in that category.
Aaron Rodgers is an interesting duck. Man, oh, man. He came out of that darkness retreat. As it stands right now, if you haven't heard, and this is a few days old as far as, you know, listening to this podcast on the Sunday, but he wants to play. He's happy to play for the New York Jets if the Packers can get the deal done. He just needs to go out. He hasn't worked out in a while. As long as his body reacts and he goes to camp and he feels pretty good, he's totally down to play for the New York Jets, which I think is pretty cool. But from what I've gathered from watching the Pat McAfee show, who is a former kicker and now does a very successful sports podcast, he's a Aaron Rodgers quarterback, is on once a week. Dude's a hippie. Like, he's just a straight up hippie and doesn't care about the money. Does not care.
You see them asking about Adam Schefter texting Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers says, "Ask Adam what I texted him back.
Yeah.
How did you get my number, and don't ever text me again?"
Lose my number. Nice try, though.
Knob.
But again, another example of a journalist doing his job. Went right to the source. Got his number. Asked around the league. Give me Aaron Rodgers' number. Went right to the source. Said, "Hey, instead of me speculating, what's going on? I'm like the foremost authority of being able to link information. Tell me what's going on." And he's like, no thanks. And when I say Aaron Rodgers doesn't care about the money, it's a lot easier to not care about money when you have money, a lot of it, especially when you're set up for life. But he doesn't come across as a materialistic guy. Like, he's not going to have his driveway full of, you know, Bentleys and MGs and all these beautiful vehicles. He's just kind of a Jeep Wrangler kind of guy. And he's just okay to have, you know, a few creature comforts that he can afford. But other than that, I really don't think he cares all that much about the material world.
You know what? I was told an interesting story about Aaron Rodgers. So, you remember when the Green Bay Packers were playing the NFL exhibition game in Winnipeg like 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Oof. Okay.
That absolute donkey show where the field was so bad because the CFL puts their pegs for the field goals inside of the end zone instead of outside the end zone. So, when they pulled it out and moved it back, they couldn't use the end zone. They literally had to move. They shortened the field to 80 yards because they couldn't use that part of the field. It was an absolute joke. Bad.
It's a tire fire.
Yeah.
Almost Fed Zeno-esque, if you will.
It wasn't good. Anyways, go on.
So I was told a story. The general manager at the Radisson Hotel in downtown Winnipeg told me this. Aaron Rodgers, when he would come from his hotel room to breakfast, he would have one thing and one thing only. He would have two slices of whole wheat toast with 3 inches thick of peanut butter on that toast. Literally 3 inches. And I know what 3 inches looks like. On toast. With a drizzle of honey on top. That was his morning breakfast at the Radisson Hotel in downtown Winnipeg.
Well, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's not, he's a great quarterback. He's a future Hall of Famer, first ballot for sure, former MVP, Super Bowl champ. But he's very, reminds me a lot of Eli Manning. I mean, you see this guy with his shirt off at the beach, you're not going to think, whoo, that guy's a pro athlete. No, he's just got a natural skill where he's got an incredible sense of the field, knows how to fling the ball. Other than that, he's not a super jacked human being. He's not like one of these, he's not like an Andrew Harris where he's running downhill at, you know, 220 pounds at 5'9". He's just your average. Like, he could walk through a Walmart sifting through the underwear there, and instead of getting sheath underwear like he should, just sifting through the underwear there, no one would notice. Nobody outside of Wisconsin would notice.
You know, I was told, now keep in mind, this was 2019. I was doing some freelance photography at the Radisson Hotel at this point in time. I don't know if this has changed. Apparently, the day before the Packers came in, this is NFL policy, the entire hotel needs to be emptied out, not a single soul in the building, and the bomb squad, the SWAT team, will come in and check every room, every floor, make sure it's safe, and then the team will come in. I don't know if that's changed, but apparently it's NFL policy. Interesting.
That doesn't surprise me. Actually, when I was working with the Winnipeg Jets, obviously being down in the tunnel and whatnot, we had to go through a certain amount of security protocol, a lot different than when it was the American League. The best way I could describe it was, when you're working with the American League, it's like working for that mom and pop shop, you know, where you walk in and they're like, "Hey, how are you? You're 5 minutes late, don't worry about it. Hey, come on inside and go sweep the back. We're going to make some pizza later. Yeah. To working for Walmart. 5 minutes late, we'll be docking your pay on that one. And here's your jobs for the day. If they're not completed, we will not be paying you for like it just got really corporate really quick. And that's just the way professional teams roll. They have a protocol. And here's a funny story for you. Retired drug cop was working with the league, and he was the Winnipeg representative. And I said, "So, like, what's the deal? Because these guys fly private, like they fly charter, like they're not going through the airport. So how does that work with, you know, like all their gear and equipment?" He goes, "We have drug sniffing dogs that come through and go through all of their gear before it even gets loaded on the plane, all of their luggage, everything. I mean, the players don't do this. They're not standing next to their gear or anything, but the equipment managers will have it all laid out. Police dogs come by. They sniff everything. Everything goes on the plane." And I said, "What are you looking for?" And he goes, "Hard drugs, weapons, stuff like that." He goes, "Not necessarily the players, but maybe somebody tried to stash it. Maybe someone tried to, you know, to smuggle it through or whatnot." And I was like, "What about weed?" He goes, "Oh, we don't care about weed." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Oh, no, don't care about weed. But, you know, this heavy drugs, guns, weapons, bombs, all that kind of stuff. You never know. So we check on that and then we send them on their way.
Really? That's crazy. Yeah, I guess Tyler Myers and the Vancouver Canucks aren't going through, you know, Kahneman, Air Canada. Mr. Myers, your bag's 2 pounds overweight. You're going to have to shuffle things around between your suitcase. And what a nightmare that is having to do. I've done it many, many, many times. It's not fun.
That's never made sense to me. Can you take a few pounds out of this bag and put it in that bag? Oh, right, because that'll lighten the plane.
You know, I documented this and I got in some shit for this, but the old put your foot under the bag and lift up trick. I've done that a couple times where the bag's going to be a little bit overweight. I was at the Calgary airport last year coming home from Sweden, and the guy was an absolute stickler. He's like, 50 pounds on the nose. I'll give you a 50.2. Anything over, I'm charging you an extra $100 for it. I'm like, buddy, come on.
Right.
So I basically, because I showed up like 3 hours early, I waste his time. I'm transferring from one bag to the other, back and forth, back and forth. I've wasted like an hour of this guy's time. And so finally, I put my foot under the bag and I just lift up ever so slightly. And he says, how'd you get it down to 48? I was like, I don't know. I was just trying to repack. He says, okay, carry on your way, sir. That's a really good trick.
Oh.
If you can pull it off. Some airports, they're set up where you can do it casually. Some not so much, but it's a good trick of the pros. By the way, you mentioned Walmart, which reminds me, I want to get some Fedzino news. I know you mentioned on your morning show earlier in the week that Walmart is having multiple locations closed down in the U.S. because they're not making money. People are just going through the self-checkout, not paying for anything and walking out.
Yeah. Did your one in Detroit get shut down? The one over by 8 Mile?
I think the Motor City Rockers might have a lot to do with that.
Oh.
Now, I have to be careful with my wording. In the Fedzino, we make $125 a week, U.S. the minimum. Yes, that's 170 Canadian, which is great. But the max is 250 a week over the table, under the table. Some guys can make 1,000 a week, but for the most part, guys making that 200-ish range, a little bit less, a little bit more. Now, I'm not going to name names, but there are some players in the Fed who have told me the only way to survive is you go to Walmart and you get the, you know, the friends and family discount. You just put shit in the cart and you walk out. They're not going to say anything. And that 8 Mile Walmart that you mentioned was one of the places the boys like to go to the most. And so those Walmarts closing down, if they're within, I don't know, I'm going to say a 10-mile radius of any Fedzino teams, you can understand why they closed down. Because nobody's paying for shit. Everybody's just walking out with the cart.
Well, it's so funny you say that because I witnessed that about 10 years ago when I was down in Oakland. I went to go to see some A's games. Ricky Henderson was getting his number retired and got burnt to a crisp. Like, holy moly, did I get boinked. It was bad. Peeled twice. And so I ended up going to Walmart for my flight to go pick up some aloe vera and stuff that I would need just to kind of keep my skin from crawling off myself when I was on the airplane. And went into a Walmart in right in the heart of Oakland. And you know when you're browsing, you're in a store or whatever, and you're browsing, and the things are all hung up, and you're kind of like going through, and you're just kind of moving the shirts or the whatever it may be over, and you're checking the tag or whatnot. The way they do it there is they literally just go, they pull it down, they look at it, and they throw it on the ground. They pull it off, they look at it, and they throw it on the ground. And I was like, that's a little odd. And then I grabbed my stuff, and I was standing in line, what I thought was a line, at one of these checkout counters. And people were going through. I'm like, wow, this line's really quick. Then realized really quickly that there was no light on at the checkout counter. And people were just walking through the closed checkout counter and going out the door. And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm at the wrong. My goodness, I'm at the wrong counter. I must go to one with the light turned on. Therefore, I'd be able to pay for my goods. And so I walk over, and somebody's looking at me like I've got three heads. They're like, why did you just walk out with it? And I'm like, no, sir. No. I will pay for my wares. I do not want to catch trouble in a foreign country, but thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. He's from Miami.
People just literally walking out. And like you said, nobody doing anything. The only two Walmarts that Portland, Oregon had, gone. They shut down 260 locations of Walmarts because Walmart said, we're trying to make money. Like, we're a business. We don't have a red cross over our door. We're trying to make money. And these stores are not making money. And people were crying foul, going, you know how many, screw you, Walmart. You know how many jobs you lost for people? That was a community area where people could go get food. And now they got to travel further. It's like, you're right. I'll just keep failing my business so everyone can be okay. Like, that, it just doesn't make sense in the current way of the way we run capitalism. We're not talking politics. We're not doing it.
Are you sure?
Don't you fish me into this. But I feel bad for anyone that had their local grocery store shut down. But yeah, if you're losing money, you're a failing business, you close your doors, period.
Speaking of which, actually, that's a fantastic transitioning point. The Motor City Rockers, we talked about this last episode, did Pay What You Want night for their weekend series against the Columbus River Dragons. Now, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, we were charging $17 US for a ticket for a Motor City Rockers home game. And then obviously we changed it to pay what
you
want.
Is that GA? Is that general admission?
General admission, yep. You can sit wherever you want, nice. I believe. I could be wrong, but all I know is that it said pay what you want. There was no fine print. There was no minimum. I don't know if people were getting in for free. You picked the tabletop for a dollar. I don't know what the deals were. It just said pay what you want. Come to a game. So we're going with that. Now, Motor City was averaging high 700s, low 800s for attendance. What do you think we got for pay what you want night?
Sold out. Sold out to the rafters. Standing room only.
The sellout capacity is 3,400. It might be 3,300, but that's the capacity. Final predictions. You think sellout?
2,100.
Oh, 1,000. It's tough. Ooh. It's tough. Really tough. Yeah.
How does that make sense? Did they not promote it right? Or?
Well, now this is my opinion. I've had many opinions on this before, but when you're competing with the Detroit Red Wings, the Pistons, the Lions, the Tigers in the area, the U.S. National Development Program isn't too far away, and their tickets are cheaper. You have a University of Michigan for the NCAA Division I. You have concerts. You have all these amazing events. It's going to be tough to draw people in. You got to do something to bring people in, and I just don't think that they've done, honestly, a really good job of doing that, and I've had lots of ideas that, you know, I pitched to our management over the year. It was like, hey, this is what we can do to bring some people in the doors. Also, having me, you know, sitting rotting on the bench only practicing isn't going to help when you have, you know, great marketing asset that can bring people to the rink. I mean, there's more people showing up to our road games than home games because, you know, there's a better chance you're going to see me. There was one great story this season. I don't know if I ever mentioned this on the show, but there was a couple. I can't remember their name for the life of me. But so we're going to Watertown. This is when I got my first win. And so this girl messaged me, says, hey, me and my boyfriend are going to be driving down from Ottawa to Watertown. It's going to be, I think, 4 hours there, 4 hours back. We got our passports updated over the summer. We're ready. We're going to be there for the Friday night game. Can't wait to see you. Warm up. And I said, well, actually, I'm scratch Friday. If you actually want to see me, you're going to have to come Saturday. That'd be your best bet. And they said, okay, sure. Change the tickets, change the hotel. Done. Coming on Saturday. Well, 18 minutes into the game, yours truly goes in. And they were so happy. They were so excited to actually see tire fire that is me in net for the Motor City Rockers, the dumpster fire inside with the tire fire. And they're so excited. They're like, we can't wait. We're going to come back to Watertown next time whenever you play. And it just made me think, like, I could do so much to help the team, bring people to the rink and make the big boys money. The people that are cutting the checks, you know, Chad and Jamie, make you guys some money. But unfortunately, I can't do anything recovering from hip surgery, and I can't do anything helping, you know, doing stats in the stands. So it's unfortunate because there's such good potential in Motor City to do something great for the community with the hockey, and they have a great we have a great product and a great setup. A couple little things need to be tweaked, but so much potential. Unfortunate. Although I will say it, I do miss the Motor City Hot Laps. I ever tell you about the Hot Laps?
No.
Okay. Now, this is a podcast exclusive. This is for the boys kind of talk. So before practice, every day before practice, Monday to Friday, we practice 11 to 12:30. We we shoot around 5 minutes. Everybody gets the legs going. You get the hands flowing. And then we meet at center ice. Leadership stretches in the center. Everybody else goes around the circle. And leadership picks one guy. You're going to tell us who you are, where you're from.
Easy now. Easy now.
The heaviest lady you've had relations
dated.
With.
There
dated.
You go.
Dated. Yeah. And do you have any brothers or sisters, specifically the sisters? And I remember one of the guys, whenever we go on the road, I'm not going to say who, he had a habit of bringing ladies back to the team hotel when we were on the road, sometimes even in the parking lot. Not his car, obviously. Not the team bus, by the way, just to be clear. It wasn't on the team bus. He'd be racking up in the 300 or three bills section. So, he had fun. Missed the Motor City Hot Labs before practice.
You know what, man?
Did I piece that together well enough for you? Did you read between the lines on that?
You know what? They come in all shapes and sizes, and they all have beauty in their own ways. How about that?
I just want to say a quick shout-out to Lee Marion. He runs the 10-Minute Misconducts podcast, and he gets all this like Fed Zeno insight and FPHL information. I get a lot of the stories from him, so shout-out to Lee. You've been making the podcast possible for the last couple months with all these little intricate stories and league inner workings, which is always fun.
Well, I think there were some changes in the Fed as far as teams go, and a few ownership changes.
One piece from a couple of weeks ago. So I mentioned the story about how ET, one of our leadership guys in Motor City, Everett Thompson, how I owed him $20. Remember that? I forgot my wallet, Tyrannosaurus Trav. Well, one of our amazing listeners in Binghamton, shout out to Binghamton, New York, heard the story, and now that Everett got traded to New York in Binghamton, they show up to the rink and said, Everett, here's $20 for the Trav owes you. And he says, did Trav send you? He's like, no, I just listened to the podcast. He said he owes you 20, so here you go. Welcome to Binghamton, New York. So thank you to whoever paid off my tab.
You got people paying your debts now?
Literally. In Binghamton, New York, guy goes down, gives him a 20, and he took a picture with Everett. Everett's holding the $20 bill. Like, he's so ashamed that he just took the money off him, but it's like, come on, it's 20 bucks in this 2023 economy. You need the money. And yeah, I paid off my tab. So ET, I miss you. I miss our morning conversations. Everett and I were always the first ones to the rink every morning in Motor City. I miss our early morning conversations. And thank you for accepting the $20 on my behalf that I did not set up. I did not tell him to pay my bill, but my bill was paid. And I still do owe him 20 bucks, though.
For the record, if anyone's listening, I owe a good buddy of mine, Mike Mason, $250 from last year's Masters pool, and he won't let me in until I pay last year's. So if anyone sees Mike, just give him $250. That'd be great. Just clear. If that's the way we're rolling this podcast, clear up my debt for me. That'd be great. Thanks. You're unbelievable. You got people paying your debts.
Wow. It's the magic of this podcast. Listen, the Fed Zeno is amazing. The fans, this is what I tell you. Like, there's so much potential. The people that listen to this podcast, the people that come to the games, like, the Fed Zeno is amazing. When I was at the Leafs game, I don't know if I talked about this the other day, or last episode, but when I was at the Leafs game, I was thinking to myself, I miss Sweden. Sweden is awesome. The hockey's great. The culture is great. The women are beautiful. I'm a taken man, just for the record, Jay, if you're listening. But the atmosphere in Sweden, where you're getting maybe a couple hundred people, versus the Fed Zeno, where you show up to Watertown, New York, you show up to Carolina, where they have a guy in a toga. I'm not kidding, Dave. There's a guy in Carolina, a fan, in a toga, and he's got a megahorn, like a bullhorn, and he shouts at guys in the penalty box. Now, I don't know what he shouts, but he had one of the guys, Justin Coachman. He was the coach for Watertown, cut, signed in Binghamton. The Binghamton was getting blown out, I think 8-1 or 8-2 in Carolina. He tried jumping the glass to try to get this guy, like Mike Milbury style, to get this guy in the toga with the bullhorn. This dude's like a 350-pounder with a megaphone shouting obscenities at the guys in the penalty box. It's incredible. The Feds, you know, you got to see it. You got to see it.
Wow. Kind of reminds me of the green guys in Vancouver that used to be by the visitor's penalty box.
Yeah, but even worse, more aggressive, more snarly. It's, yeah. The Fed Zeno, it's a must see. I did want to tell two really quick stories on that Fed Zeno note. I know, so the Watertown Wolves, they recently cleaned house. They basically, you know, gutted the roster from everybody for their championship team last year. They are the defending champs, by the way. And they cut a guy not too long ago by the name of Rocco Di Costanzo. Now, great name. Shout out to Rocco. Great name. I know, right? It just rolls off the tongue. Rocco Di Costanzo. But so he had 3 goals in the season. Now, when I played Watertown, I thought that I'd given up 2 goals of the 4 to Elijah Wilson, their leading scorer. I looked online. I gave Rocco 2 goals that night. He had 3 on the season and then got sent to Delaware. I single-handedly, I think, extended that guy's stay in Watertown by an extra month. You're welcome.
Now he owes you 20 bucks.
Now, actually, here's one. Oh, I got to tell this story too, Dave. When I was in English River, I forgot to tell the story in the English River episode. There's
Man,
a guy by the name.
Blocked out a lot of information from English River. This is the second one that you've had to go back into the Rolodex for.
There's a couple. There's one I can't tell, but this one I can tell. There's a guy by the name of Eric Masters. Now, Eric Masters played the year before in the inaugural year in English River. He had 2 points. 2 points that season, and then 0 points up to this point in the season when I was playing there. Traded him to Dryden. We sent him away. See you later. So I'm playing Dryden, my first ever appearance in the SIJHL. Now remember, he had 2 points in the past year and a half. He scored 4 goals on me in the first period. 4. And chased me in that appearance. I got the chase. He scored his 5th on our other goalie, Greg Harney, who's now retired. And that was it. I don't think he put up another goal the rest of the season. What a night for Eric Masters. He ended up playing Division 3. I can't remember where he played in the Fed Zeno for Watertown. And shout out to him. You know, we're thinking of him. He was in a horrible car accident this summer. I believe he's a quadriplegic now. So, Eric, thoughts are with you. But that guy single-handedly ended my junior A career in English River, Eric Masters.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story that just kind of reminded me of. A guy that I played with, but I didn't play with. I didn't play long enough with the team. But a guy by the name of Harry York. He was from Bonnyville, Alberta. And he played with the Fort... Oh, wow, the Pontiacs. Whew! So he ended up playing for the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. And he... Great goal scorer. Like, just a natural nose for the net. The guy could score at will. Not the best skater, but he just found the net. And he worked his way up through the ranks, drafted very, very late. If he was even drafted at all, I'm pretty sure he was drafted in the late rounds. He got drafted by St. Louis. He goes out, and at first game, he puts up a hat trick for Mike Keenan. A hat trick. And it's like, whoa, that's it. Like, the fans are going nuts. This guy becomes a star overnight. He starts buying the fancy cars. He starts, you know, living the life. Who pulls him aside? Brett Hull, of all guys, the goal scorer of goal scorers, pulls Harry York aside and goes, kid, listen, good for you. You put the puck in the net a few times. Put some of that money aside because this ain't going to last forever. And, of course, young, brash Harry York is like, oh, no, I'll be fine. Thanks, Brett. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guess who's back working on the oil rig with no money left to his name? Harry York back in Bonnyville, Alberta. Yep. All he's got left is stories. I mean, God love him. God love him. Good dude. But, you know, sometimes a great night doesn't necessarily dictate your entire career, does it?
That's very true. Sometimes you leave half your money at the Chino, too. That doesn't help either.
Very good point.
One final Fed Zeno story before we basically cap off for the night. The first appearance I made in the Fed this year was in Port Huron. Now, we were up, I believe, we were winning 3-2. It might have been 2-1 going into the third period against Port Huron. Now, Dalton Jay is one of the players for Port Huron, number 92. And I believe he's in the top 10 all-time in scoring in Fed Zeno history, up there by far. And media timeout, you know, call the media timeout. And Dalton comes, he skates by me and he says, hey, Reg, don't worry. We'll have you in the net within about 10 minutes. Gives me a wink, and I'm thinking, dude, we got the best goalie in the league. Like, it's, you know, 5 minutes into the third. There's no way I'm making an appearance. Well, Dalton Jay buries, I think, three of the next four goals. And I think he scored a breakaway goal with like a minute to something left or whatever on Babs. And so Babs, you know, destroys the stick, just disintegrates the thing against the post. And he's got no sticks left. So he skates to the bench. We can't find his sticks because, like, we don't know. He broke all of his sticks. And so coach tells me, come on, Ridge, just go in there, finish off the game. So Dalton Jay was correct in his prediction that he would get me in at some point. Maybe not, you know, the way that he'd imagined, but because Babs ran out of sticks, I got a minute 14 in Port Huron. And then because he beat up a guy in Watertown and dropped the gloves with Charlie Penz Jr. Shout out to Penzi. I got my 42 minutes in Watertown. So, yeah, what a world to the Fed Zeno.
What a world. What a world. Another shout out to Sheath. Get your discount code BizGood69 in at Sheath Underwear. Go check the link down in the podscript. It's the best underwear you'll ever put on. It's really, really good stuff. Patreon page. Sign up for that. If you're on Apple, hey, Apple, if you're on Apple, leave a review. It's not that hard. Just do it. Thank you.
Also, if you're on the video version, if you see, we need to get Dave a new camera, hopefully sometime for the summer. So if you join
What's
the Patreon page, we can get a couple bucks.
I'm actually just this blurry. That's how I look. You see me in public, you're like, am I something wrong with my eyes? I'm actually this blurry. This is how I look.
What camera are you using, by the way, Dave? Just technically
Logitech?
Speaking, what camera are you using?
Logitech.
Okay, I got the Sony A7. I got the Sony A7C here, so maybe we can get you a matching one. We can get the podcast looking crispy for some time this summer. Leading to the next season, wherever I'm playing, I will be back in the Fed Zeno. I can basically guarantee that. I talked to my agent the other day. We're talking about, you know, European teams, and do we want to go to, you know, Belgium, France, Germany, Sweden? There's nothing like the Fed Zeno. There really is nothing like the Fed Zeno. The atmosphere, the blue-collared guys showing up after work to come shit all over me. The guy in the toga with the bullhorn. I want to hear what that guy has to say to me next season. I want the guy in the toga behind the net, you know, pulling his titties out because, you know, he's a big band with the bullhorn just yelling things at me. I want that. I'm looking forward to that.
Barnum and Bailey's, man. Barnum and Bailey's. That's an old song.
Anyway, I have no idea what that meant. But what I do know is I'm so ignorant. Anyway.
God, I'm old. No, I'm just old. It's fine.
Hey, what happens when you mix a 26-year-old suitcase in the Fed Zeno with a 42-year-old grizzled vet in morning radio?
43.
You get a new podcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern on the Sling the Biscuit channel. That's on the YouTube, the Apple, the Spotify. That is 10 in Winnipeg, 9 a.m. in Calgary, and 8 a.m. on the Pacific West Coast. I want to thank everybody for listening, being a part of the podcast, and we both look forward to seeing you next week.